Our lesson this morning is out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24, gems from the ending of Ephesians. It's written about AD 60. The epistle to the Ephesians was written by Paul from Rome in his first Roman imprisonment around AD 60. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians is composed of Christian doctrine in chapters 1 through 3, followed by the practical application of that doctrine in chapters 4 through 6. But it also provides great insight into the importance of gaining spiritual victory in the angelic conflict to apply God's word in our lives. So we view the Ephesians 6:10 to 24 ending of Ephesians for our insider application and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that you grant us to be able to fellowship around the word of God. We ask for wisdom to understand the text, and also to apply it this morning through the power of the Spirit of God, who authored the Word of God and who illumines the Word of God to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. Ephesians 6, 10 through the end of the book. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love of faith from God, with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, and with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Though Paul's closing salutation in Ephesians 6, 21 to 24 is the epistle's formal ending, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 climaxes the letter in an important way. So we treat it in this lesson as part of the ending. And I want to explain. This information from the Greek I did not know until I studied it this week. It's very important. Ephesians 1:1 to 3:21, or Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 is doctrine, where Ephesians chapters 4 through 6 is application. Or 4:1 to 6:20 is application. But every division of 4:1 to 6:9 was introduced by the Greek inferential particle un, which is translated as therefore, and the verb walk, or peripateo, where this final division is signaled by the words, it's translated finally, or tou loipou. So tou loipou is very different from un peripateo. Now, significantly, tou poi loipou in this verse can carry the metaphorical sense. And it means, and so, or it follows that. This is according to Dr. C.F.D. Moule, an expert in Greek. He wrote an idiom book on New Testament Greek. This book is printed by Cambridge University Press in 1975, page 161. A sense that fits the context. The Ephesians 4:1 to 6:9 part of the epistle that applied doctrine to one's walk is full of admonitions relative to issues of struggle. And Paul in Ephesians 6:10 through 12 with 6:13 to 20 indicates that this struggle is not with other people, but a struggle in the spiritual realm against Satan and Satan's demons. Okay? This is very interesting because all the way from chapter 4, verse 1, up to chapter 6, verse 9, Paul has dealt with all sorts of issues that on the surface look like we're struggling with people. Sometimes the people is ourselves, sometimes it's people, other relationships. But really, there's angelic conflict that's fuming and stirring this whole thing up. So, we view Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 on the believer's victory in the angelic conflict as follows. We believers need to be spiritually strong in the Lord, and by use of his spiritual resources and putting on the whole spiritual armor of God to be able to withstand the spiritual wiles of Satan. Well, let me just stop there. I know that a number of our charismatic brethren try to say, Satan, get thee behind me, or Satan, we bind you kind of a thing. That's very dangerous to do because we have absolutely no authority to do that, and we certainly have no power to do that. It's interesting, Paul says, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand. We need God's help because Satan is much more powerful than we are. He's much brighter than we are. He knows all the buttons to punch in us to make us react. He's an expert at it, and he's been studying us, and his demons have been studying us since we were born. So, you know, it's a losing battle if you take on Satan yourself. So we have to put on the whole armor of God. And it's interesting in between verses 10, 11 and 12, the apostle in verse 13, Paul uses the word stand or withstand three times. The reason for that is Satan wants to get us off center. If we're centered on the Lord and doing his will, he wants to get us off that center, and he can do it one of two ways. He can either lure us by making us very angry so we jump ahead and we take things into our own hand, or we flee. Either one will get us off center. What Paul says is stand. You don't move when you're under satanic attack. You stay. Okay. You don't flee. You don't charge. Stay very, very careful. I used to play tennis a lot when we were in Africa. And one thing you never want to do is to jump over the net and hit the ball. Because once you jump over the net, you lose the point. Your racket cannot swing over the top of the net itself if you're playing up with the net. You got to swing and keep it back. Otherwise, it's a fault. And the tendency is either to jump over the net and go after that, and Satan will try to lure us. Or we flee and run off the court, and then the enemy hits the ball into the court and we lose. So it's very important. We need to be spiritually strong in the Lord. Then Paul described the spiritual armor that is in use in the angelic conflict in Ephesians 6, 13 to 20 as follows. We must put on the entire armor of God to withstand, antistemi. Histemi would be stand, withstand is antistemi, Satan's efforts, or stand against Satan. And Paul repeated the call to stand in Ephesians 6, 14a, and the pieces of armor and their functions are described in Ephesians 6, 14b to 20 as follows. First of all, we must put on the belt of truth about our waist, Ephesians 6, verse 14b. This does not refer to the truth of the gospel itself, but to subjective truth, a believer's integrity and faithfulness in living. One thing Satan will try to do is to get us to fudge ever so slightly from the truth because of circumstances, and we want to tone the truth down a little bit or back away because we might get into more conflict. The best thing to do is to be very careful, very gentle, but speak the absolute truth, nothing but the truth. Otherwise, he's going to get us. We must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this does not refer to positional righteousness that we gain at salvation, but the sanctifying righteousness of Christ in living. In other words, am I currently in right relationship with the Lord? Am I currently doing what is right? If I'm not currently doing that what is right, I need to repent immediately, confess it to the Lord, and shift and immediately start doing that which is right. And that takes us out of the bullseye of, you know, Satan, out of his crosshairs. So it's very, very important. Then three, we must put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice the preparation. And that refers to Isaiah 5:27, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news and whatnot. Satan's attacks are often meant to disqualify a believer from effectively evangelizing when the opportunity to witness arises, so he must face satanic attacks with the readiness to evangelize. Years ago, before the Billy Graham Crusade, I was at a meeting in a church in eastern Connecticut, and Cliff Barrows was there. Cliff was is a song leader for Billy Graham. He runs ahead. And Cliff told us, a room full of pastors. And Cliff says, you know, every time I get ready to go away on a crusade somewhere, something happens. Either the lawnmower acts up, or there's always something that's going on. He says, we're running into spiritual warfare. So he says, we have to commit it to the Lord and go at it. But I thought that was interesting. In a very practical way, Cliff was sharing with us what he faces. And, of course, this time was no different. He was having a crusade here in Hartford in, back in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, for some time in then. And that's what he said. So we got to be ready to evangelize. Then we must take up the shield of faith in God to quench all of Satan's fiery darts. Faith, that's how we overcome. And we have to be believing in God and his word. Then we must receive. It's a different word in verse 17 rather than taking. We receive the helmet of salvation. Deliverance from a satanic attack is entirely God's work. Romans 16:20, God shall bruise Satan shortly under your feet. So we must not rely on our own efforts, but on the Lord at every step of the conflict that we face. It's very, very important. Don't try to handle it yourself. Rely on the Lord. Do what the Lord tells you to do. But wait upon the Lord for the victory. Then we must take up the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. Ephesians 6:17. Scripture is our only offensive weapon against Satan, and Jesus used it against Satan's temptation in Matthew 4:4, 7, and 10. Every temptation that Satan brought up to Jesus, Jesus said, it is written. Scripture says, Scripture says, Scripture says. And every one of the quotes that Jesus used were out of the book of Deuteronomy. That's very fitting because Deuteronomy was Moses' last address to the nation of Israel as to how they were to act once they got into the land of Israel in order to have spiritual blessing. So Jesus, under the law, he came under the law. Remember Galatians chapter 4, Jesus was born of the woman under the law. Since he was under the law, he utilized the book of Deuteronomy three times to counter Satan's three different efforts to tempt him to sin. Now, if the Son of God, and of course he was human, as well as man. But if the Son of God used Scripture that way, that's a testimony as to how we are to react to Satan. God has said, God said, God said. And Satan then cannot withstand the authority of God because it's his word. This is why his word is so very important. And then we must pray in the Spirit's power, watching for Satan's moves to counter them. Notice it says pray in the Spirit. It's not in our realm of spirit, but we believe it's capital S, and the Spirit, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. So as we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we're following the Lord. The Holy Spirit will give us very powerful subjective inclinations as to what we should do in a circumstance like that, especially under angelic conflict. And we need to pray for the Lord's help. Now Ephesians 6:21-24 then gives Paul's closing salutation. And it is the only salutation in Paul's epistles and Scripture that calls for God's grace to be administered to those who love Christ in sincerity. Dr. Horner, in his commentary, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and he wrote the commentary on Ephesians, says that if you do a study, the word love, as commanded by Paul, appears in a much higher frequency in the book of Ephesians than it does in any of his other epistles. Apparently there was a problem here. The people were tending to depart from the love of the Lord and the fervency of the Lord. And so this is the only closing where he says, God's grace be administered to those who love the Christ in sincerity. Sincerity literally translates in incorruption, incorruptibility, immortality, and atharsia. So it's very important, maintaining a vibrant love for the Lord, which is absolutely critical if we're going to be blessed in life and ministry, is something that involves our relying upon the Lord to handle the angelic conflict that we face. So the lesson is Paul taught that we believers need to rely on God. and his spiritual resources to overcome Satan in the angelic conflict that we face in every realm of our lives. In doing so, we will also retain a fervent love for the Lord. So in application, may we rely on God to overcome Satan in every realm of life and retain a fervent love for the Lord. Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost, who was my mentor at Dallas Seminary at the time when I graduated from seminary, he was the head of Bible exposition at Dallas Seminary. He's written, of course, the book Things to Come. My first pastor was in Nebraska, and then between that pastor and coming here to Nepaug, and he knew that we were coming up in this way, he called Nadine and me in, and he wanted to talk with us. And he said, I want to let you know that every time I fly into New York City and I get on the Merritt Parkway and I start coming into Connecticut, there's an oppression that comes over me. He says, I believe it's the angelic conflict. He says, every time I've had a ministry in Connecticut, especially, I've noticed that pressure that is there. But he said, I've also noticed that the sheep, the flock of God, is in great need in that area. Often they're very oppressed and pressed down, pushed down for a wide variety of things. So he said, God's sending you into Connecticut for an effective ministry, but I want you to be aware of it. You're running into angelic conflict. And of course, my parents ran into a lot of angelic conflict, especially in the 40s when they went to Nigeria at first. You would walk along a path and there would be an altar there and someone had sacrificed a chicken or a pig or whatever. And the Africans, we were in Yoruba country where there's very, very, very heavy into witchcraft. They were also into child sacrifice, and we had to watch that we would not be kidnapped because we would be prime targets as white children to be kidnapped and then sacrificed in human sacrifice. So we had to play, when we were small, we had to play pretty close so mom could always see where we were and know what was going on. And we were warned of that. And there was a child that was actually kidnapped in Omar when I was there. And the Africans were very concerned about him having been sacrificed. They found the child down at the riverside. He'd been buried up to his neck. They were waiting to starve the child so he wouldn't fight back, and then they were going to sacrifice him on an altar. And they rescued the child, fortunately. They put him into the dispensary there in Omar, and he got better, which we're very grateful for. But it was a secret society into all sorts of witchcraft and Satanism and whatnot. So we found that we had to be my parents had to be in prayer a lot, just ministering there in Yoruba country, southwestern Nigeria. You get into northern Nigeria, you get into Islam, which is very different. It's not into spirit stuff, but it's a different type of attack from Satan. So this is very real. But I think the Lord prepared us when we were in Nigeria for Connecticut, because there has been a lot of spiritual activity in this area, and we've noticed it as well. So we face it here. Now, I think increasingly in other parts of our country, more and more people are facing it, because as we've had people move from our church into other areas of the Bible Belt, like South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, whatnot, they've noticed that there is a spiritual need in those areas as well. Maybe there's not as strong demonic activity, but it's coming. And there are people now who will send their children to the public school and openly tell the teachers, we're pagan, so we don't want to have anything to do with your religions of any kind. And they'll actually tell, and the children will proudly say that we're pagan. And 25, 30 years ago, that was unknown. So we're running more and more into this. And so I want to just clarify that this kind of lesson is very, very important. And it's going to become more and more important as the days go on. And we really need to be strong in the Lord and look at the spiritual dimension of everything that's going on in order to have effectiveness with the Lord. Okay, we'll turn it over to you for questions or input. It could be on this subject. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, please feel free to go in that direction. We'll seek to do the best we can.